Does he know about this one?
Didn't know he could listen in.
Oh, I'm sure.
I got it.
You set there, Deb?
Pardon? I'm all set. We're all set.
You're all set?
We're streaming.
All right, you got a lot to cover. So I'm going to call the January 18th meeting of the planning board to order. First up tonight is a public hearing for 56 Main Street. That's the old Hilltop. They're looking for an approval and for a waiver on some parking. Peachy, you here? Oh, there we go.
They've already seen it. Why don't we just wait here and get some of these?
Well, I guess I'll call the public hearing to in order. Go ahead.
So here we are, 56 Main Street as it looks today. It was the Hilltop Hotel years ago. Here's some historic pictures that I got from the village historian. And the intent is really to restore the facade. As you can see, a lot's been lost over the years. So we want to restore the facade, and we're going to, the building now, its last use, it's been derelict for about 20 years, but it last had six apartments on the second and third floor and a bar restaurant on the ground floor. And our proposal is to make five apartments, two each on the second and third floor, and one accessible apartment will be on the ground floor. Floor plan. And to have a retail, part of the space with an entrance here will be some sort of a retail establishment to be determined. So what we're asking the board for tonight is a waiver on the parking. The existing parking lot is five spaces, and by this area here, there used to be a one-story extension that has recently been removed. So we're picking up a couple, and just by laying it out a little bit different, we were able to get eight spots in. What we'd like to do is designate one parking spot per apartment and reserve three spots for the future retail. We're not sure what it's going to be yet. So we have sort of a handicap loading area here for whatever this business is going to be, with two spots here. We'd like five spots in the back to be for the apartments. The apartment entrance is in the rear. Is that clear?
Okay. All right, so you have not designated a retail establishment in there yet, correct?
We're not sure what it's going to be yet, and we're sort of anticipating, well, we may be coming before the board again if it's not a permitted, you know, if we need to get a special permit. And we're also thinking if we can get in there, get the apartments going, We'll clean up the ground floor, and that'll also give us time to find more parking when we know what the retail tenant is. And so when we come before you, we'll, because there are places nearby, but we need to arrange lease and that sort of thing.
Okay, and you understand that if it is a personal services type business, you definitely have to go back in front of us?
Yes.
Okay. You haven't determined hours of operation, and of course, we'll take a look at that when you determine what you're gonna put in there, okay? And the other thing I think might be a good idea is if you would post some signs, no backing on Main Street.
Absolutely.
Because you've said you have a place where they can turn around, correct?
Yeah, do you wanna talk on that a little bit?
Yeah, so what we've done here is, since this old building has been removed, there is a pretty good sized aisle space in here. Cars could go in here, back in here, and pull back out again. So it will be better than it is today. You will have 8 spots.
Oh, yeah.
The other point is, you know, the residents will need their parking at night. When they go to work during the day, you're gonna have maybe 8 spots empty if there was a retail business. So, I don't know, I think there could be some sharing of the parking spots, even if they only had 8 to start with, so.
Okay, well, the only concern really was backing out on Main Street, but if you're gonna address that, then.
Yeah, that would be a bad idea.
We sort of assume that we'll come before you anyway, even if we go with a permitted use for that space, a cafe or a cafe bar is a permitted use, but there's not enough parking. So we're gonna have to come, you know, before you again, when we figure out what that tenant is and sort of present and address that at that time. But we do just wanna say that those 3 spots can be allocated.
Okay. Any public questions, concerns?
Oh, I just don't know who they are in terms of, I mean, are you coming to the town?
Frank, Christopher, you wanna introduce yourselves?
Hi, my name is Spring Sutter. This is my partner, Christopher Russell. We have a home in Hudson. We've recently moved up with the hopeful intention of restoring this beautiful building, helping the Main Street of Belmont, which we think is in a beautiful village. And I have a propensity to want to repair and fix things. And kind of have a crush on that building, to be honest. And we're just looking forward to being part of the community.
I'm Lee Armstrong. This is Paul Prendergast. I'm sorry we didn't introduce ourselves. I'm the architect and he's the engineer.
I was just curious, what are the parking requirements? And so what is the waiver being asked for?
Okay. So for any dwelling unit, and so that's a home, a single family home, if it's 2 per unit. Rather than what we're asking for is 1 per unit.
Kind of a 2-part question. How many bedrooms in each unit?
Okay, so there's 3 1-bedroom and 2 2-bedroom units.
Okay, and I understand you're looking for the variance for the parking. How many people have 2 cars within their family? Is that, you know, how are you going to rent to them, say, can't, because you've got 2 cars? Have you covered that?
Well, one way I thought it would be handled is that everybody gets an assigned parking space with their unit.
Right.
And if they have another car, then they're free to make an arrangement, you know, with the bank or with the insurance agent or whatever to rent one of their spots in the unit.
That's some of that loose land that you're talking about.
Right.
And where would that be?
Where is there spaces? Are there spaces that are available?
You mentioned leased land.
There's a lot behind Cummings that's not being used. That's got probably about 20 spaces in it. It's, and I think the dollar store may get deliveries through that, but it's really not being used at all. You know, and then there's the commercial services building on the other side, I mean, that's another option where maybe they can, like, that where possibly you could rent a spot at night if you need an additional overflow. This would be an arrangement that a tenant could make, but for whatever the retail client's gonna be, we're gonna figure that out, but we don't have that figured out today.
Thank you.
Anybody else? All right. So board, what do you wanna do?
I make a motion, we accept.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Well, thank you very much for the time.
We have to cover the secret form first. You just jumped up a little bit ahead, we'll just back up a little bit. So, you should just put in the minutes of public hearing closed at 7:09.
Do you have a copy, Rob?
Yeah, George has got a blank part two here. So as the board knows, the part one was submitted with the application. The secret form is the short environmental assessment form. We're looking for potential for significant negative environmental impacts in response to these questions. So the questions are, will proposed action create a material conflict with an adopted land use plan or zoning regulation? No to small impact. Will the proposed action result in a change in use or intensity of use of land? No to small impact. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of an existing community? No to small impact. Will it affect the critical environmental area? No. Will the proposed action result in adverse change in the existing levels of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkway? No to small impact. Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy and it fails to incorporate all reasonably available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities? No small impact. Will it impact public or private water supplies or public or private wastewater treatment? No small impact. Will the proposed action impair the quality of important historic, archaeological, architectural, or aesthetic resources? No small impact. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change to natural resources, wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, or fauna? No to small impact. Will the proposed action result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems? No to small impact. And will the proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health? No to small impact. If the board agrees with those answers as proposed, you're free to make a motion to issue a negative declaration for purposes of SECRE.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to give a negative deck. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Pass.
And then, now you're free to make a motion to approve the use and site plan as depicted and presented with the waiver of parking to allow for 8 spaces. 1 per apartment unit and 3 for a future retail.
All right, I need a motion to accept that.
I'll make a motion to accept it.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now you're done.
Now I'm done. All right, and we will include, Rob, we'll include this with it that will show the parking and so forth.
Yep, yep.
Hey, Rob. It's a motion to approve site plan with waiver to allow 8 parking spaces.
Yep, and I would actually put 1 for each unit.
1 for each unit.
3 for retail.
Okay. And then at the very end, we accept it because we did that.
Approve it.
Approve it.
Approve it, yep.
All right.
So before we fill this out, we'll talk.
Yep, not a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the building.
We ready?
Whenever you are here.
Oh, one second. All right, The Woods, a major subdivision preliminary plat, Summit Street, Village of Philmont. Go ahead.
All right, thank you. Good evening, everyone. I'm Brandy Nelson. I'm an engineer with Ty and Bond. I'm here with my colleague Rob Sasser, both from Ty and Bond. And we're here with Clover Reach Partners for the Woods subdivision. The Woods subdivision, we presented a schematic design for it back in November, the November meeting. And we've spent the last month and a half just sort of refining the schematic that had been presented to the board back then. For those of you who haven't been here previously, the parcel is an existing 20.276 acre parcel on Summit Street. On the east side of Summit Street. This site was subject to a subdivision back in 2005-2006, and a 57 lot subdivision was filed at that time. This seeks to reduce the number of lots from 57 down to 16, so that's about a 75% reduction in the number of lots, and also set more sensitively on the land. By limiting the amount of roadway, reducing the number of lots, reducing the amount of infrastructure that's required. And so that's the proposal that we've put forward with the preliminary plat. Again, it's 16 proposed lots, including, in addition, there's going to be a lot for stormwater management. There will be a right-of-way for the roadway that would be offered to the Village of Philmont. And there would be five small conservation lots that would be offered up to provide for connectivity between the conservation land that had been donated at the prior subdivision to connect that land on the uphill side, which is the south side, to the land that was conserved with the last subdivision, which provides a nice buffer for the lake. So we want to be able to, you know, partake of that connectivity and allow for the continued use of the walking trails in that area. The zoning for the property is in the Hamlet 2, and that is minimum half acre. So we are providing minimum half acre lots with the required minimum frontages. Lots range in size from a half acre up to a larger lot that's just about 5 acres, which makes up the northern portion of the property. The parcels are able to access the municipal sewer and water, so we would have to install a new water main and a new sewer service to connect into the municipal utilities. We've been working with DPW Superintendent Mr. Sider on the specifics of the design for that. Our preliminary plat submission does include plans and profiles for sewer and water installation, along with a profile for the proposed roadway. The roadway would access off of Summit Street at the same location where the previous subdivision had an access way. And the roadway would extend as a two-way road back about 475 feet, where it would split into a one-way loop that would, the south side of the loop would serve the lots to the south, and then you'd loop around, and the north side of the loop would serve the lower lots. So that a plan and profile has been provided for that. That roadway, we actually just contacted the chief, the fire chief today. We had talked to the village's engineer, Mr. Schmidt, and he had suggested just reaching out to the fire chief. So we've left him a message, and we've got some plans to leave for him so we can talk to him about that access way. There would be private driveways for each of the lots off of the new loop road, and we will be working with the board on the driveway access there. Those lots driveways, just due to the natural grade of the property, will be between 10 and 15%, so code does have a provision that where we're over 10%, we need to work with the board on those driveways. So we'll be providing that information. The other things that we had been working on between the schematic submission and this current submission was we had our wetland biologist out on site to do a delineation on the property. With the previous development on the site, there had been wetlands identified. And then what had been done after the 57 lot subdivision was filed was that roadways were left in on the property. There's some grading that was done. And that created a lot of uneven terrain. And over the last few years, some of that terrain has collected water. And so there's some changes to some of the wetland areas, as well as creation of some new wetland areas that do not have any sort of hydraulic connection to other wetlands, but they're sort of like basins that had gotten excavated with some of the roadway construction work. So we have all of that delineated, and we're providing a wetland summary table on our subdivision map. And we've been able to, with our road layout, evaluate what, if any, there's going to be as far as impacts to those wetlands. And right now it looks like about 0.2 acre of wetlands. So those would be not state regulated wetlands, but federally regulated wetlands. And we would have to apply for what's called a nationwide permit with the Army Corps of Engineers, nationwide permit number 29, for the construction of the roadway and drainage improvements or utility improvements that might impact those wetlands. In addition, we have been working through some of the seeker issues, so outside of wetlands. We've been working with SHPO. We've come to learn that the village has a historic district pending for a large portion of the village. And my understanding is that that historic district will run against the east property line of the existing houses that are on Summit Street. So the historic, district does not extend into the land that we're proposing to subdivide. However, it will encompass the properties both on the east and west side of the street, of Summit Street. And so we're in communication with SHPO about the specifics of the proposed development. They just sent us a letter right before this meeting asking for some additional questions about where house sites will be located in relationship to the proposed district. So we have to get back to them on that. We did get a letter from SHPO though, indicating that there are no archaeological resources on the site according to their records. So we don't have to have an archaeologist go out on site to do any test fits for historic resources. So we've got that letter, and that was provided to the board with our packet. Let's see, I'm trying to think what other items there are. So we've queried the state's Natural Resource Heritage Program, as well as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife ICAP program for potential threatened or endangered species that may be in the area. This region, in fact, all the Hudson Valley, is a region that's identified for Indiana and northern long-eared bats for a particular wooded habitat. That's a designation that has existed for maybe 10 years now. And the way you work through that process with the agencies is you limit your tree clearing activity to winter months, or if you need to do your tree clearing activity during the growing season, you have a certified wildlife biologist do the necessary study to clear through Fish and Wildlife and DEC the area where you're gonna have the tree clearing done. The IPAC, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Report, also turned up a notice that the region has potential for monarch butterflies. I'm a gardener, and so I'm aware of monarch butterflies and their particular habitat. They're typically out in meadow areas, roadside areas, where they can access milkweed. This is a forested site, so I wouldn't expect there's butterfly habitat there currently, although, you know, with people's yards coming in, things like that, they may create habitat. Monarch butterflies are not endangered. I think they're on the threatened list, though. What else, Rob?
I think that covers it for me. Your submission was very detailed. Thank you.
Sure. Sure. We did provide it digitally. I noticed that the village had gone ahead and posted that online, so I know there was some interest by members of the public to have access to the materials that have been submitted. From an engineering standpoint, details we have to work out are working with the fire chief to run through the road configuration with him. And then we have our preliminary drainage plan submitted, which includes creation of a stormwater management area. That's a reduction in stormwater management area that was from the previous development. There were going to be two proposed stormwater management areas previously. Because we've reduced the size of the project down, we're able to create one stormwater management area, which will allow these lands that were previously going to be dedicated for stormwater management to just continue to be undeveloped land, which I think is a benefit, and it also improves the buffer to the lake. So we are still working on some of the details of stormwater management modeling, and I talked to George about that today. We'll get him the details of the SWIP and the hydraulic model so that he can take a look at it. George and I have worked together on other projects, so we're aware of the level of detail that he likes to have.
Very good.
Anything else? Yeah. I guess my questions to the board are just from a secret process standpoint. At the previous meeting, we were anticipating this would be an unlisted action under secret, but may require coordinated review. I believe there was an intent to declare lead agency, Rob, is that right? That this board would be the lead agent?
Yes. Did we make that as a motion at the last meeting? I can't recall.
Mm-hmm. Don't think so.
No, but I think
I don't think we were there.
Okay.
I think Jeremiah would probably do that.
Yeah, they made detailed submissions and we had the opportunity to review them. Basically what they're asking for is that we do our lead agency designation. You are the primary body that needs to approve this as a subdivision. But as Brandy said, there's a lot of other wetland governing agencies and that need to be noticed, and then they get a copy of the secret forms that have been generated, and then they get 30 days to send you back comments or object that they want to be the lead agency. So we should probably initiate that process now and make a motion to go out and declare lead agency and circulate to agencies for the Woods project. That would start that.
Okay.
I'll make the motion.
Yeah, they did.
I'll second.
I got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then Brandy, if you or your team could coordinate with me and George, we'll just make sure we have all the agencies we think we need.
Yeah.
And what we usually have been doing lately is delegating to you to do the circulation.
That's fine.
Because
other
you have all the data.
Yeah, and other boards have been doing that with us as well. So that's totally fine. We would be happy to take care
of it. Mr. Chair, can I ask a procedural question?
Rob?
It's up to you. I'm fine. Mr. Ross Nelson.
So I'm just trying to understand. Ms. Nelson said tonight, and the application says, it's an amendment to a previous site plan. And I understand that in 2006, there was a bigger subdivision. And of course, it's nice to say that it's down from 57 units to 16. But it does make a difference because the Brownfield Opportunities area came in subsequent to the last approval. So my question is, the approval evidently was 2006. I'm not sure of the date, but the filing of that seems to have been October 2007, which meant under the village law and your law, and I can point out the specific provision, it didn't meet the 62-day filing requirement, which specifically states under the your law that it was null and void, which means it's not an amendment. So before you send it to any coordinated or involved agencies, I just want to make sure we understand, what are we dealing with? Is it an amendment or is it a new application?
No, it's a new application, you are correct.
Okay, so
The 2006 subdivision was a takeaway from the original Burby subdivision, which was like 140 lots or something like that. That one was roughed in and approved, and they just never progressed with it. So that one allowed quarter acre lots. So when the second developer came in, Summit Heights, they picked that up, and there was some validity to the plan that were filed. If you look at our zoning map, it has those original lot sizes on there from that original subdivision. Through the Summit Heights subdivision, it went through planning board review, village board review, went through three courts, and it stayed approved. It was never overturned. The issue was it was never developed. And the developer would come back and ask for extensions, and they would negotiate them with the village. And in the final extension he got, we actually put in the language, if you don't do it by such and such a date, it's off the books. So not only did the village zoning law provide for that, as you pointed out, we expressly put it in an agreement. So that subdivision is, there's no grandfathering, there's no remaining vested rights to that old subdivision. This is a new subdivision application.
So the applicant may want to amend that, so it's not an amended application, that's all I'm pointing out.
We submitted a new application.
I know, but you said it tonight, and on your application, it says you're amending a prior site plan.
In our letter, we say it was a 57 lot.
But you're not.
Within this 20 acre parcel, yeah.
Thank you.
We got the motion to circulate for SECR. Usually the next step that happens, as Brandy said, they're finalizing the road, because if the fire chief has a major problem with it, like the truck's too big to make it around, then they've gotta draw something different. So that could change the plan. They gotta work out the stormwater management, which as Brandy said, is George's specialty, so exacting standard on that. And George's firm will do a technical review of what's been submitted so far, using the escrow that they provided, and generate a comment letter with any questions or concerns. They'll do a code, section by section, analyze what they've got versus code, and I will do the same, so that at the next meeting, we can vet or deal with any of those questions or issues. With your approval, they'll issue the comment letter in between to Brandy, so she can come back at the next meeting and address any of his comments that may come up, but we'll be CC'd on that. And as those documents are finalized, we'll get them up on the website too.
Okay.
Does it make sense to think about opening a public hearing at the February meeting? I'm not sure what other specific information you guys are looking for, other than in the engineering details that we've identified this evening.
Yeah, we're probably a little early for that, because we wanna get the circulation done, see any comments to that, and then get the final design comments, well, at least the initial design comments addressed, and then see if the board has any questions or concerns, but, yeah, I mean, obviously through the SECR process and the review process, we've got a lot of public that are interested, it makes sense to do that earlier rather than later, but I think we just need one more month of tightening the screws, so to speak, so that everything's, so that we know what we're commenting on.
And it's a 1 to 3 year build out, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's what, we believe 3 years, yeah.
Three?
I would doubt one, just, you know, one would be a lot to do in a year, with the infrastructure and things like that.
Yeah, so we're not dealing with phasing.
Yeah, there's no proposed phases, it would all be a single phase.
Yep.
Correct.
By the way, I liked that you had that on the website, the Dropbox?
Yes.
That was awesome.
Oh, good, okay, I'm glad that's working then, yeah. I don't know if anyone else has had access to it or had any issues with it.
Yeah, trustee Gitterman put it on the Village of Philmont website, and it's under planning board, I believe. You put planning board link, and there's a link to the woods, and then all the documents that we have seen and been submitted, anybody can take a look at.
That was really good.
Great.
I also had a quick link on the homepage on the side, if anyone's having trouble getting to it, and it says the woods.
Perfect.
Great, thank you. Are there any other issues we should be aware of, or be thinking about, or questions that the board has, just so we can be more complete when we're back here in February?
No, I mean, they usually ask about lighting for the individual lots, but you were gonna deal with that with individualized house lighting?
Yes, yeah, driveway lighting instead of street lights, it's just a little bit lower impact, but it still provides a level of illumination at the points where it's important for safety.
And from your submission, you think walkability is fine the way it is with the volume of traffic and everything, there's no sidewalks needed?
Correct.
You're not proposing that?
Correct.
I guess the only other thing is the question you're gonna get is, what are we gonna see from the other side of the reservoir? I don't know if you've prepared anything as far as a potential visual analysis or anything on that.
I can speak to that. I'm Andrew, I'm one of the partners of Clover Reach. We actually walked with a group that had expressed concerns, both ecological and from the perspective of what we see across the lake. And after all the leaves had fallen, we went and we walked right to where the houses are proposed to be, the ones that are the closest to the lake. And you could barely even make out like the shoreline of the water. So, you know, we could try to take some photographs from over there to represent this for the board, but essentially you can hardly even see the lake. So the likelihood that from across the lake you would be able to see is pretty low. And there are some things we plan to do to help that. I guess to step back a little, I would say our intention is to try to hide homes in very much a wooded environment. So we did specific things to try to minimize the clearing that was happening here. One of the things we did is, the one-way loop. That was so that there would be less grading. If it was a two-way road, we have a much deeper cut and much more grade on the uphill side and the downhill side. So we created the one-way loop to reduce the amount of grading. We're also doing slightly steeper grading than usual, so we will have a wooden guardrail on the lower side of the loop. All of this so that we could essentially hold on to as many trees as we can. We're calling it the woods because we like the feeling of being in this small section of neighborhood in Philmont to be very much like being in the woods. The other thing we've been discussing is to put covenants or restrictions on the land to limit the amount of clearing that can happen on the lots. Again, all of this in the service of creating very much a woods type of neighborhood. The only other thing I wanted to point out is that the retention pond, we were hoping to do even more, I guess,
less dramatic.
Less dramatic approach or a more subtle approach to water retention by using swales in the land instead of creating like stormwater infrastructure. And it seemed that because stormwater was not dealt with in the prior subdivision up on Overlook Court, we are managing also the water that is coming off of that road from up there. So that pushed us to have a stormwater retention pond to manage the amount of water. But Brady, you can tell me if I'm correct on this. I believe overall there will be less water flowing toward the lake off of our property than there is currently with no infrastructure on land. And I would just say that was very much one of our goals in doing this is, we know there's always an impact for changing something, but we wanted the impact of our development process to have positive influences on the ecology and on the neighborhood. And then the last thing I would say is just, I've lived in Philmont for 5 years. I saw the zoning map. I saw all the little house lots that were on there. When we bought the property, this 57 lot thing, it doesn't, it's not on the books anymore, but we bought it as two undeveloped roadbeds and 57 lots. Like that's the way it was sold to us, or the way the land is described. So, that was something that I saw that I shared with my partners, and we thought here is a chance that we could do something that is much better than what had been proposed in the past, that would have a much, much lighter environmental impact and hopefully set this land up to have an ever-improving environmental impact that will remain because it was a developable lot. So, it could have easily been cleared and graded the way it was in the last plan. Not as many lots, but the approach was very different. They were grading all of the land plus two stormwater retention areas in the conservation area. So just to let you know that was our intention with the program.
Thank you.
I'm good.
All right, thank you for your time this evening.
All right, thank you. So that should complete our work for tonight.
Next meeting.
Next meeting will be the third Tuesday in February. 15th. February 15th. At 7 o'clock, right here. Nanu Nanu.
On the other one, does that suffer to go to the county? On the other?
No.
Okay. Okay.
So I need a motion.
Oh, I'm like motion adjourned.
I said.
All in favor?
Aye. Yes.
All right. We're done. Thank you, everybody.
Good night, Philmont.